Welcome to the debate. You know, when you watch someone hike a steep, rocky trail, the struggle is, it's incredibly obvious.
Oh, definitely. They're, you know, sweating, slipping, trying to find their footing over roots and boulders.
Right. Now, imagine if a construction crew suddenly came in and built like a paved escalator right up the side of the mountain.
Sure, the hiker reaches the top in record time.
But their legs wouldn't have gotten any stronger.
Exactly. The view from the summit is exactly the same, but the physical transformation, which is, you know, the whole purpose of the climb, is completely lost.
Yeah, the mountain in that scenario becomes just an obstacle to bypass rather than a necessary training ground. Well, that mountain is higher education. And today we're asking a really uncomfortable question about how we climb it. Are targeted artificial intelligence tools acting as a necessary climbing rope for students who are genuinely stuck? Or are we just building them a cognitive escalator that ruins the whole point of the climb?
It is easily the defining pedagogical tension of our moment. When we deploy these tools, things that can instantly, you know, re-represent a text, simplify a concept, or moderate a discussion, are we helping students genuinely construct deep understanding? Or are we just catering to a really dangerous illusion of competence?
By removing the exact intellectual struggle that builds durable mental models, right?
Exactly.
Isn't working, AI provides an essential customized scaffold. It keeps them engaged in that that sweet spot of learning where they are challenged but not entirely defeated.
And I'll be arguing that leaning on an algorithm to do the heavy lifting of sense-making actually sabotages the student's cognitive endurance. It basically tricks them into thinking they understand something just because the AI explained it smoothly.
To ground this, I think we really need to look at how not understanding actually plays out in reality. Because it isn't just one monolith, right? There are distinct barriers.
Right. There are different types of struggling students.
Exactly. So let's take a student whose understanding is actually pretty solid in parts. Let's call him Jordan. Now, Jordan reads the assigned theories, he gets them individually, but when he tries to synthesize them into a coherent big picture, he's totally stuck.
He hits a wall.
Right. He recognizes that just rereading the chapter or rewatching the lecture for a third time is completely useless. He needs a radically different type of support to connect the concepts, not just, you know, more repetition.
Okay, but contrast Jordan with another incredibly common archetype. Let's call her Maya. Maya is that overwhelmed student in an asynchronous course who reads a dense academic article twice. She highlights the key terms, she can find the definitions on the page.
But she can't explain it.
Exactly. When she closes the laptop and tries to explain the core thesis in her own words, she hits a total blank.
Which is a terrifying moment for a student.
It is. And the crucial detail about Maya is that she is rightfully leery of AI. She doesn't want to just, you know, dump the PDF into a chatbot and ask for a summary.
Because she feels like it's cheating?
More than that, she instinctively knows that if she doesn't wrestle with it herself, she's sabotaging her own learning. She genuinely wants to understand it, not just get the answer.
And Maya's instinct is brilliant, honestly, but her strategy is failing her. She is experiencing the realization that familiarity is not understanding. Just because she recognizes the font and the bolded words doesn't mean she has a mental model.
Right.
And this is exactly where I think the AI intervention is most misunderstood. People think AI is just an answer generator. But if we look at the verification stage of learning, tools like Quizme, they're designed specifically to break that illusion of competence Maya is suffering from.
Wait, how so? By giving her a multiple choice test? I mean, come on.
No, by forcing active retrieval. Let's dig into the actual cognitive mechanism here. When Maya reads an article twice, her brain processes the visual words faster the second time.
Okay.
The brain misinterprets that processing speed, that fluency, as mastery. She thinks, this feels easy to read, therefore I know it. It's called the fluency illusion.
Sure. Cognitive Psych 101.
Right. So an AI quizzing tool shatters that illusion. It prompts her to retrieve the information, explain it dynamically, and apply it to a new scenario without looking at the text. We know that the sheer act of retrieving a memory actually alters and strengthens the neural pathway. The AI isn't building her an escalator. It's pointing out exactly which muscles she needs to flex to get up the rock face.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you that.
Testing yourself and breaking the fluency illusion is much better than just passively rereading a textbook. The retrieval practice mechanism is sound. But, and this is a big but, my worry is the algorithm itself.
What do you mean?
Well, if Maya is already overwhelmed and struggling to parse the concepts, and she starts relying on an automated AI quiz to check her knowledge, isn't she just learning to beat the AI's syntax?
You mean she's learning how the AI writes questions rather than learning the material?
Exactly. She learns the pattern of the prompt. But more fundamentally, let's talk about the nature of scaffolding. A true cognitive scaffold requires the eventual removal of the support, right?
Yes, obviously.
The scaffolding has to come down for the building to stand on its own. If the AI is perpetually available in her pocket to clarify, verify, and quiz her every single time she feels friction, when does she ever build the internal intellectual stamina to evaluate her own understanding?
Well,
by institutionalizing the AI as a constant companion, we are ensuring the scaffold becomes a permanent exoskeleton. Maya's hesitation is completely correct. She is outsourcing her cognitive endurance.
That's a really interesting point, though. I would frame the outcome entirely differently. The goal of the AI in that verification stage isn't to be a permanent exoskeleton. It's to teach the student what true retrieval actually feels like.
By doing it for them?
No, by prompting them. Once Maya experiences that moment of, oh, I couldn't answer the AI's question, which means I didn't really read closely enough, she develops a new internal standard. She can apply that standard to her future reading even when the AI isn't there.
I think you're highly overestimating the transferability of that skill. If the tool is always there, the temptation to lean on it is overwhelming. But even if I grant that an AI can help Maya test her basic recall, recall isn't synthesis.
True.
What happens when a student moves past basic definitions and actually has to do higher order thinking? What happens when our other student, Jordan, has to smash two opposing theoretical frameworks together? AI cannot do that messy human work.
Actually, I think integration is where AI provides some of its most profound scaffolding. When Jordan understands the pieces but can't connect them, the traditional method is to, what, put him in a peer breakout room and just hope for the best?
Which usually results in students just stating their isolated understandings at each other.
Exactly. They don't integrate. They just monologue. They talk past each other. This is where a tool like Breakout Companion comes in to support structured peer interaction.
Breakout Companion?
Yeah. We know from constructivist theory that understanding is built through social negotiation. You have to explain your thinking and respond to friction. Think of the AI in this context not as a participant in the debate giving all the answers, but as the moderator of an academic panel.
Okay, a moderator.
It listens to the students, surfaces their underlying assumptions, and frames the comparison so Jordan and his peers don't stray off topic. It directs their cognitive energy toward the friction points.
Wait, hang on. Let me make sure I'm mapping this correctly. You're saying the AI acts as the moderator, not the panelist. It surfaces the assumptions and frames the friction points.
Right. It provides the structure, not the substance. The students still have to do the heavy lifting of discussing the concepts.
I have to stop you there, and I want to challenge that analogy directly. Because if the AI frames the prompt, if it says, notice how theory A's view of motivation completely contradicts theory B's, hasn't it already done the absolute hardest part of the homework for them?
Identifying a contradiction isn't the same as resolving it.
But identifying the contradiction is the core intellectual task. In advanced academic work, the structure is the substance.
I disagree.
It is. Finding the invisible thread between two disparate ideas, recognizing the hidden assumptions, having that epiphany of, wait, these two things cannot simultaneously be true, that is the whole ballgame for a student like Jordan. When you outsource the structural framing of a discussion to an AI moderator, you're depriving students of the messy, frustrating, incredibly human process of discovering those connections organically. You're handing them a pre-assembled puzzle and asking them to just admire the picture.
See, I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning because it assumes that without the AI, Jordan naturally discovers that structure on his own.
He might if he struggles enough.
But we know from decades of classroom observation that a lot of students just sit in the ravine and never find the path. The cognitive load of trying to remember theory A, remember theory B, manage the social dynamics of a breakout room, and invent a framework for comparing them is simply too high. Their working memory maxes out.
So we lower the bar?
No, the AI moderator lowers the extraneous cognitive load so Jordan can actually focus on the deeper meaning. It scaffolds the process of constructivism.
But the extraneous load you're trying to eliminate is the actual work of synthesis. If I tell you exactly where to look for the anomaly, I've solved half the mystery. You are artificially lowering the bar and calling it scaffolding.
But what if the friction they are experiencing isn't productive at all? Let's transition to the concept of representation, because cognitive load is the perfect bridge here. Sometimes a student isn't struggling with the deep concepts. They are just blocked by the format.
Meaning?
They're staring at a page, and the syntax is so impenetrable that zero learning is happening.
Ah, so this is where we get into the translation tools. Notebook LM, Respeak, things that turn text into audio or analogies.
Exactly. Let's look at the mechanisms of how the brain actually processes information. Humans process text and visuals through separate channels in working memory. When Maya is trying to decode a dense, convoluted academic paper, her visual-verbal channel is completely overwhelmed.
Right, she's bogged down in the syntax.
She's maxed out just trying to parse the sentence structure, leaving zero cognitive capacity for the actual ideas. But if she shifts that exact same information into an audio format, like having Notebook LM turn the article into a conversational podcast, or if she uses Respeak to generate a practical analogy, she opens up a parallel cognitive channel.
And bypasses the text entirely.
She bypasses the bottleneck. It prevents her from throwing her hands up in defeat and abandoning the material entirely.
This is, without a doubt, the most dangerous application of AI for the leery student. And Maya's hesitation here is deeply profound. If you take a complex, nuanced, theoretical paper and reduce it to a simpler explanation or story mode, you haven't just changed the format. You have fundamentally altered the epistemology of the content.
Oh, come on. You've translated it into an accessible entry point.
No, you have stripped it of its precision. I need to be really firm on this. The dense syntax of academic writing is not some accidental byproduct or an elite hazing ritual. The terminology, the nested clauses, the careful qualification of claims, that structure holds the weight of the ideas.
But if she can't read it...
That is how rigorous thinking is constructed. When you use an AI to smooth out all those edges, to turn a peer-reviewed methodology into casual podcast banter, you are not building an understanding of the original text. You are building a reliance on a translator.
I think you are conflating the initial entry point with the final destination. Nobody is arguing that the podcast replaces the text.
Really? You don't think students will just stop at the podcast?
The point of the scaffold is to give Maya a gestalt, the broad, conceptual shape of the argument, when her understanding hasn't yet developed. Once she has that mental map from the analogy or the audio, it acts as an anchor. Think about it. Before the AI, she read the text twice and walked away with nothing but isolated vocabulary words.
True.
With the AI, she gets a conceptual anchor, and then she returns to the dense academic text a third time, and suddenly the nested clauses make sense because she knows where the author is going.
But does she actually return to the text a third time? Let's be rigorously honest about human nature and the principle of least effort.
Well, if the assessment requires it.
If Maya gets a perfectly coherent, easily digestible summary from the AI that makes her feel smart, the overwhelming temptation is to stop right there. The dopamine hit of fluency kicks in immediately. She thinks, ah, I listened to the podcast, therefore I understand the theory.
But she knows it's an analogy.
But she doesn't understand the theory. She only understands the AI's flattened, simplified approximation of the theory. The productive friction of wrestling with the author's actual words, which, by the way, is what builds deep neural connections, is entirely bypassed.
Look, if a student stops at the summary, that is a failure of course design and assessment, not a failure of the AI tool. If the professor's assessment just asks for a summary, then sure, the podcast is a shortcut. But if the assessment requires Maya to synthesize specific, nuanced textual evidence with a brand new case study, the podcast alone won't save her.
No, it won't.
She will have to use that podcast as a scaffold to penetrate the text. We cannot withhold highly effective cognitive scaffolds just because some students might misuse them.
It is not simply about misuse. It is about the subtle, long-term erosion of cognitive endurance. Think about what we are actually teaching Jordan and Maya. They are at critical inflection points in their intellectual development. They are learning how to learn.
And we're giving them new tools to do that.
If we teach them that confusion is a technical glitch to be solved by an AI prompt rather than a necessary state of being that precedes insight, we fundamentally alter their relationship to difficult ideas. We teach them to fear the ravine rather than how to climb out of it themselves.
But confusion that leads to utter withdrawal is not productive. The entire premise of this intervention is located at the specific moment when a student is present, engaged, trying their hardest, and still hitting a wall. We've all seen students who are highly motivated, but simply can't find the door into the material.
I know, but...
When rereading fails, when passive video watching fails, telling them to just embrace the friction and try harder isn't pedagogy. Honestly, it's just gatekeeping.
I am certainly not advocating for gatekeeping or leaving students to drown. I am advocating for intellectual charity toward the student's own capacity to overcome friction. Let's go back to Maya closing her laptop.
Okay.
When she realizes she can't explain the idea in her own words, she is demonstrating incredibly strong metacognition. She knows she has a gap. That is a massive victory.
I agree.
The very next step should be her actively trying to write a messy, imperfect explanation, checking it against the text, failing, and revising it. That struggle is the learning. If she clicks a button and Respeak gives her a beautiful, flawless analogy instantly, she never has to sit in the discomfort of her own messy draft. The AI stole the rep from her.
Okay, but what if the tool doesn't just hand her the flawless analogy? What if we design the AI interaction as a guided tutor? A tool like My Learning Helper doesn't have to spit out answers. It can be prompted to ask Maya clarifying questions.
Like a Socratic tutor?
Exactly. It can say, okay, Maya, what part of the definition does make sense to you? Can you relate this concept to the module we studied last week? It can act as a tireless, infinitely patient Socratic guide that refuses to give her the answer, but refuses to let her give up.
If, and that is a massive if, it acts truly Socratically, and if the student has the extraordinary discipline to engage with it that way, without demanding the answer, then yes, it approximates Vygotskian scaffolding. It keeps her in the zone of proximal development.
Right.
But you and I both know the boundary between a Socratic guide and an answer generator is incredibly porous, especially when the exhausted student is the one controlling the prompt.
And that is exactly why the structured tools we're discussing, like QuizMe and Breakout Companion, are so vital. They aren't just open-ended blinking cursors where a student can type, "Summarize this for me." They are deliberately constrained interventions designed for specific cognitive challenges.
So you're saying the constraint is the key?
Yes, they're purpose-built to induce the exact cognitive work you are demanding: active retrieval, self-assessment, and peer negotiation. They structure the friction so it remains productive.
Well, we definitely agree that understanding is a multifaceted challenge and it's never easily solved. And we absolutely agree that the fluency illusion is real, that students constantly overestimate their comprehension when they passively review materials.
Absolutely.
My core concern remains that the medium is the message. By offering these incredibly seamless, frictionless alternative pathways through an algorithm, we risk teaching students that the friction itself is the enemy. We have to be incredibly precise in ensuring these tools demand more thinking from the student, not less. They cannot become permanent crutches that replace the intellectual heavy lifting.
And I would summarize my perspective by asserting that learning should never be an exercise in unproductive frustration. When students like Maya or Jordan recognize that their traditional methods are failing them, these structured AI supports provide theoretically grounded, customized pathways into understanding.
As long as they keep doing the work.
Exactly. Whether it's breaking the fluency illusion through verification, lowering the extraneous load during integration, or opening a new cognitive channel for representation. These tools keep students actively engaged in the process when they otherwise would have completely given up.
It seems we converge on the central non-negotiable necessity of active meaning-making. Whatever tool a student uses, whether it's a highlighter, a study group, or a conversational AI, it must serve to deepen their own internal construction of knowledge. If the tool is doing the synthesizing, the student isn't learning.
Spot on. The ultimate goal is to keep the learner moving forward independently, to equip them for the climb, not to carry them to the summit. As we wrap up this discussion, we suggest that you take a hard look at the specific learning barriers in your own material. Are you facing a need for clarification? Are you struggling to synthesize opposing ideas?
Carefully consider how any support system you lean on influences your own cognitive load. Ask yourself the uncomfortable question: is this tool helping me exercise my intellectual muscles, or is it quietly doing the lifting for me?
Ultimately, the role AI plays in your own sense-making is completely up to you. Are you using it to build an escalator that bypasses the climb, or are you using it as a rope to pull yourself up the steepest, most treacherous part of the mountain so you can finally stand at the summit on your own two feet?